Beijing's Hormuz challenge forces Trump administration to rethink Middle East strategy. And number 10,022, takeaways by Plaquemium AI Hyde, and number 9,650, the Trump-Xi Beijing summit on May 14, 2026 produced a joint statement that the Strait of Hormuz and #X27 must remain open to support the free flow of energy, and #X27, but included no ceasefire, timeline, or enforcement mechanism. The Strait of Hormuz has become the central variable in global energy pricing, Federal Reserve policy, and institutional portfolio construction across all major asset classes following the U.S.-Israel war on Iran that began in late February 2026. China is the Strait of Hormuz and #X27's largest downstream beneficiary, importing substantial volumes of Gulf crude that transit the waterway, giving it strategic leverage in negotiations with the Trump administration. The Trump-Xi Beijing summit on May 14, 2026 has elevated the Strait of Hormuz from a regional military flashpoint to the central variable in global energy pricing, Federal Reserve policy, and institutional portfolio construction across every major asset class. The White House confirmed that Trump and Chinese President Xi Jinping agreed during their meeting in Beijing that the Strait of Hormuz must remain open to support the free flow of energy. The joint statement of intent carries strategic weight. China is the Strait's largest downstream beneficiary, importing substantial volumes of Gulf crude that transits the waterway. But the agreement produced no ceasefire, no timeline, and no enforcement mechanism. The Strait remains effectively closed to most commercial traffic since the U.S.-Israel war on Iran began at the end of February 2026. U.S. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent, in a separate interview, said he believed Beijing would do what they can to open the waterway, describing free transit as very much in their interest. Trump told Fox News that Xi assured him China would not supply military equipment to Iran, calling the pledge a big statement. China's foreign ministry readout of the same meeting made no mention of Iran or the Strait of Hormuz. The gap between Washington's public characterization of the summit and Beijing's official silence is itself a data point for capital markets. The Strait is not reopening this week. Key data point: U.S. Central Command reported that as of May 14, 2026, CENTCOM forces had redirected 70 commercial vessels and disabled four others to enforce the U.S. blockade on ships traveling to or from Iranian ports through the Strait of Hormuz. The nut paragraph for institutional investors: when the world's two largest economies convene a summit and cannot produce a shared statement on a waterway that carries roughly 20% of global oil trade, the risk premium on energy assets does not compress. It compounds. China's selective transit deals rewrite the rules of passage. Iran is not enforcing a universal blockade. It is running a managed access regime with geopolitical preferences baked in. On Wednesday, May 13, a Chinese tanker transited the Strait, according to shipping data seen by Reuters. Iran's Fars news agency reported an agreement to allow certain Chinese vessels to pass. Iran's state broadcaster IRIB reported approximately 30 vessels had transited since Wednesday evening. Al Jazeera correspondent Al-Maghdad Al-Ruwaid, reporting from Tehran, described the emerging mechanism. Iranian authorities have established what Tehran calls the Persian Gulf Strait Authority, requiring vessels to submit cargo details, ownership information, destination, route plans, and transit timing in advance. Authorities then decide whether to issue a transit permit. Vessels deemed hostile to Iran are denied passage. Iran's judiciary spokesperson Asghar Jahangir stated that the capture of what he called U.S. tankers was being carried out under domestic and international law. A vessel anchored off the UAE port of Fujairah was seized by unauthorized personnel and directed toward Iran on Thursday. An Indian-flagged wooden cargo vessel sank in Omani waters following a suspected drone or missile strike while sailing from Somalia to the UAE. All 14 crew were rescued by the Omani Coast Guard. No party claimed responsibility for the attack. The implication for shipping and commodity desks: Iran has effectively created a tiered transit market. Chinese-flagged or Chinese-connected tonnage moves. U.S.-linked, Israeli-linked, or undefined-flagged vessels do not. For commodity traders, this is not a binary open-slash-closed risk. It is a counterparty and flag of convenience risk embedded in every voyage through the Gulf. The Fed now owns the energy inflation problem. The Strait of Hormuz closure has migrated directly into the U.S. Consumer Price Index. U.S. inflation reached 3.8% annually in April 2026, the fastest rate since May 2023, driven primarily by surging energy costs tied to the Strait's closure. Food, housing, and airfare costs also rose. Kevin Warsh was confirmed as Federal Reserve Chair by the U.S. Senate on Wednesday with 54 votes in favor and 45 against, the narrowest confirmation margin since the Senate approval process was implemented in 1977. He replaces Jerome Powell, whose term ends Friday. Only one Democrat, Pennsylvania Senator John Fetterman, voted to confirm Warsh. Warsh steps into a policy trap with no clean exit. Trump expects rate cuts. The inflation data argues for a hold or a rise. Most economists, per BBC reporting, now expect rates to be held until next year, with some warning of a rate increase. Warsh told his Senate Banking Committee confirmation hearing he would not act as Trump's sock puppet and would defend central bank independence. Senator Elizabeth Warren's warning about Warsh's independence, cited in the BBC's coverage, frames the institutional risk. A Fed chair, perceived as politically compromised, as a Fed chair whose forward guidance the market cannot price with confidence. Caption: Key macro and operational indicators tied to the Strait of Hormuz crisis as of May 14, 2026. Our view: the Fed cannot cut rates while oil prices remain elevated by a U.S.-prosecuted military operation. Trump's pressure on Warsh to cut and his simultaneous prosecution of a war that structurally prevents rate cuts creates a policy contradiction that bond markets will price as duration risk. Institutional fixed income managers should treat the Warsh appointment not as a dovish signal but as a source of policy volatility. Latin America recalibrates around the Washington vacuum, the global distraction of a two-front diplomatic crisis, simultaneous Beijing summit and Hormuz blockade management, is creating negotiating space for smaller economies that understand Trump's transactional logic. Uruguay's President Yamandu Orsi is preparing to travel to Washington in the coming months to meet Trump, with Foreign Minister Mario Lubetkin confirming the meeting is agreed and awaiting calendar coordination. The visit would follow a deliberate pattern of overtures Orsi's broad front government has made since taking office in March 2026. On May 2, Orsi visited the U.S. nuclear aircraft carrier USS Nimitz in international waters off the Uruguayan coast, a gesture that generated controversy within his own coalition, including objections from Labor Minister Juan Castillo and the PIT CNT Labor Federation. Days before that, Orsi publicly expressed solidarity with Trump following an assassination attempt at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Merco Press reports the diplomatic move fits a regional pattern. Brazil's Lula, Argentina's Milei, and Colombia's Petro have all secured Washington meetings. Orsi's argument, stated publicly on May 6, is that he conducts foreign policy for Uruguay's national interest, not for his political coalition. For investors in the Southern Cone, the Orsi-Trump track is a signal that the broad front government, historically aligned with regional left politics, is prioritizing bilateral economic access over ideological solidarity. That pivot expands the range of credible policy outcomes for Uruguay's trade and investment framework over the next 24 months. Washington wants uranium, Tehran wants sovereignty. That gap has a price. The core negotiating impasse is now explicit. The U.S. demands Iran surrender its enriched uranium. Iran demands sanctions relief and U.S. recognition of Iranian sovereignty over the Strait of Hormuz. Neither position has moved. The Xi-Trump summit clarified Beijing's posture, opposed to the militarization of the strait, opposed to any tolling mechanism, and interested in commercial access for Chinese vessels but not a military confrontation with the U.S. Xi warned Trump separately that missteps on Taiwan could push the two countries into conflict, describing Taiwan as the most important issue in China-U.S. relations. The 2-hour and 15-minute meeting produced no joint communique. That combination, no ceasefire, no joint statement, no enrichment deal, and active vessel seizures, sets the baseline for a prolonged closure. Every week the strait remains restricted as a week the energy premium compounds into headline inflation, central bank paralysis, and shipping cost pass-throughs. Credit risk signal. Iran's judiciary spokesperson Asghar Jahangir stated that Iran's seizure of tankers is being conducted under domestic and international law, asserting an ongoing legal framework for confiscation that applies to vessels deemed connected to the U.S. Any fund with beneficial ownership exposure to Gulf transiting tanker assets should treat that claim as an active liability, not a theoretical one. The Plaquemines view the market is pricing the Strait of Hormuz as a bilateral U.S.-Iran problem. Plaquemines reads it as a trilateral restructuring of global energy access governance, and the investment implications are substantially larger than current risk premiums reflect. Here is the thesis the source reporting does not make explicit: China's selective transit arrangement with Iran is not a temporary workaround. It is a prototype for a Chinese-administered energy corridor in the Gulf. Iran's Persian Gulf Strait Authority mechanism, with its advanced submission requirements and permit system, is the infrastructure of a toll road. China is currently the only major economy with a working relationship to navigate that system. That gives Beijing structural energy cost advantages over Europe, Japan, South Korea, and India for as long as the current regime persists. The second-order play, Chinese refining and petrochemical capacity that can source Gulf crude at a discount to Brent, while European and Asian competitors pay war risk premiums and rerouting costs, is a margin expansion story running in real time. Private equity firms and sovereign wealth funds with exposure to Chinese downstream energy assets are sitting on an unpriced tailwind. The third-order effect sits in Latin America. Trump's transactional foreign policy, currently occupied with Beijing and Tehran, is creating a narrow window for Southern Cone governments to lock in bilateral terms before Washington's attention returns. Or sees Uruguay play as the template. Expect Paraguay, Ecuador, and potentially Bolivia to attempt similar calendar insertions in Q3 2026. For private equity with infrastructure and commodity assets in the region, bilateral trade normalization with Washington under a distracted administration may be the most underleveraged entry point in the current cycle. Warsh at the Fed changes nothing about the energy inflation dynamic. What it changes is the communication channel. A Fed chair under political pressure from a president prosecuting a war that causes the inflation the Fed cannot cut through is a chair who will speak carefully and act cautiously. That is not dovish. That is paralysis, and paralysis in a rising inflation environment is a real rate compression story that favors hard assets over duration. The Hormuz closure, the Beijing summit posture, the Warsh appointment, and the Latin American diplomatic realignment are not four separate stories. They are one story. The architecture of post-2025 global capital flows is being redrawn in real time, and the institutions that map those second-order connections before consensus does will capture the spread. The bottom line: the Trump-Xi summit on May 14, 2026 produced a shared aspiration and zero operational resolution on the Strait of Hormuz. With CENTCOM enforcing a 70-vessel redirect count, Iran building a managed access toll mechanism, U.S. inflation at 3.8% and a new Fed chair confirmed by the narrowest margin in nearly 50 years, the conditions for a near-term de-escalation do not exist in the current data. Institutional investors should position for a prolonged energy premium, treat Chinese downstream energy exposure as structurally advantaged, and watch the Uruguay-Washington meeting as the leading indicator of how Latin American sovereign risk reprices when the U.S. is geopolitically distracted. The strait does not reopen until the uranium question resolves. That question has no answer on the table today.